My name is Jess. Back in February, I was in Uganda and stumbled upon a story of a woman who fled her home country, Congo. She had been through so much. She had lost her husband, her children. She was abused. Once she reached Uganda safely, she decided to do something positive with her life. Her mission became to build up her own company. With little resources, she became an inspiration for so many women. Her story really touched me. I was amazed by her strength and by the fact that she could do such powerful things. This made me think about the way we deal with refugees. Here in Belgium, there is still a lot of negativity when it comes to refugees. Why is that? How do we look further, beyond all the judgments? How can we look positively at refugees? Uganda is in the top four of the most welcoming countries for refugees. Belgium received 27,742 applications for asylum in 2019. Worldwide, only 3% of the refugees attend college or university. For every 10 boys, only 7 girls with a refugee background get a proper education. 1 in 5 refugee women has experienced some form of sexual violence. And women who live in refugee camps have higher risks to live in poverty. I spoke to a lot of strong women the past few weeks, all with different backgrounds, all with different stories. But all those women had one thing in common. They are, in their own way, doing something more, something inspiring. They showed me refugees can be so much more. Today, I am telling the stories of those women. What I have learned from Mehdi Firouzi, psychologist at Solentra, expert in psychological care and assistance to both young refugees and their families, is that migrants have to go through psychological steps before it is possible for them to move on and to start doing better. Step one is life pre-migration, the life base of a refugee. This could have been war, being sent away by your parents to make more money and to get a better life. A lot of migrants had a good education, yet plenty didn't have education at all. Yara owns her own catering business from Syria with Love, where she brings people together through food. Yara originates from Syria and left the country at a young age with her whole family, moving to Kuwait. For educational reasons, Yara then moved to other countries and ended up asking for asylum in Belgium 5.5 years ago. What's your favorite Syrian dish?
Very hard to say, but I would say mlochiye, which is like a leaf, a green leaf, that is sun-dried usually, and then it's conserved throughout the whole year because there's a lot of, like, in Italy we conserve a lot of food, so it can be used throughout the whole year. Mm-hmm. And then it's cooked with a chicken or meat broth and a lot of lemon and spices and served with white rice. And it's a very green dish, you know, it's very healthy. And it's one of my favorites. It's called mlouchiye, and it actually means, it sounds like mlouchiye, which means like king.
And what is like your favorite memory from back when you lived in Syria?
Like the simple things we used to do, like the picnics, going to grandma's house. There was 2 channels on TV. The market was very closed by the government. Only Arabic speaking, very limited. And the food and the family and the gatherings and also the late walks in the city, which I really miss all the time, especially here in Belgium. Like here everything closes at 7 or 6 and then only the pubs are alive. I miss the nightlife of the street food and things like that. The Mediterranean touch.
The second psychological step is the migration itself. A lot of migrants face horrible situations during migration. Others are able to take a plane. Some refugees were able to say goodbye to their families and others weren't. Maria came here from Venezuela. Getting here wasn't easy or without a struggle. And she went through a stressful and lonely time.
I actually was waiting to come here for about 3 months to find a flight ticket. So it was very difficult to find tickets. And we did something not that legal. But I have a sister in Italy. And I said, okay, then I go to Italy. I stay there a few months and then I can come back to Belgium. I had my papers, so we started a procedure here. And I say, okay, you can stay. But that was very fast. At that moment, I had already almost 6 months pregnant, so I couldn't go back to Venezuela. I didn't know what to do. When my kid was about 5 months, I think, I got a reaction, and they allowed me to stay in Belgium. It's very hard. You feel very lonely. We thought we couldn't make it.
Vida comes from Iran, and as a young girl, it was her dream to go to Africa. During her studies, she had the opportunity to go there, and that was the start of her very international career. She left Iran because she knew she could do better elsewhere, because she knew she wanted more for herself. She followed her dream, which took her to Africa and later to Belgium. She never returned to Iran. Now she is a successful woman working for the Red Cross and the Women's Council.
I came alone to Belgium. Actually, I've been far from Iran for 10 years, almost, yeah, 10 years and a half.
And how did they feel when you left Iran?
Back then, going back to Africa also was not a typical, you know, journey for a 25 years old, a girl, father and a mother. But luckily I was... stubborn enough in time, and my parents now also are acknowledging in a sense that I am good that you were bold enough to do that, because imagine if I hadn't gone to Africa, if I hadn't had my own career there, I wouldn't have come across this opportunity to come to Europe.
I do think that it's pretty unusual that you did follow your dreams, because I think as a young woman, as you said, living in Iran and then telling like, oh, I'm going to Africa, that must be very unique.
It was, but you know, when you're 25 years old, you don't think of restrictions and limitations.
The third step newcomers have to go through is life here in Belgium. A lot of men and women still have a lot of trauma they have to process. As a refugee, you need to adapt to your new home country by learning the language, finding a job, looking for a place to live, but also by learning about the social rules, the way you interact with one another, building up a network. It takes time to adjust to this new life, especially for those who had been through a lot in the first two steps. In our Western culture, things go fast, and migrants are expected to adjust quickly. This isn't always possible, because a lot is going on, so all most asylum seekers need is time. Psychologist Mehdi Firouzi claims that over 50% of all refugees coming to Belgium do make a good life for themselves eventually. Vida talks about how hard it can be going through this last phase, as she has been through it herself. According to Vida, one of the hardest things you have to cope with is the judgments towards you as a refugee.
Here I was a student, and I have no pressure in my mind. Oh, Vida, you need to go. I'm a student here, and other people also treat. Oh, you're a student here, and da, da, da. Yeah, and very social. The 1 year passes, I become asylum seeker. Something overnight changed. When I went to the shops, I entered the shop. I'm not any more confident to speak in English. I'm the same person. I haven't pressure on me that like, Vida, you need to speak in Netherlands. I have been working with refugees, especially women. I have lots of contacts with newcomers, and I hear stories and I see how society is excluding newcomers.
Maria doesn't have a job at the moment. She spends all of her time taking care of her disabled son, doing voluntary work and organizing fundraisers to help people back in Venezuela.
The last time, that was last year, we made an event with other Venezuelan people who have here companies and they started businesses here. And they are helping each other, so we could make a big party to raise some money. And we also collect clothes and medicines and everything, and we send everything to Venezuela. We do it because there is many people in need there of basic things.
In Venezuela, Maria was a journalist. Here, she has her own Instagram account and a blog where she wants to raise more awareness about autism. How can we look beyond assumptions? There are plenty of ways. Belgium-based organization She Did It wants to bring female entrepreneurs with all kinds of roots together. They want to empower women of color in business.
In one sentence, say the main goal of She Did It.
Making diversity in women entrepreneurship visible.
Vida wants to raise awareness. She does this by speaking up, by trying to make people see that refugees can be different.
The only thing I could say, and I always say to the people, like, you know, our residents in the Alpine Centrum, always say, you came for a reason. And that reason was to be safe. Security is the most important basic rights that we have. And here you're safe. Just live your life that you couldn't back in your own country. To just raise awareness, I always say I'm a refugee, to just break the stereotypes, you know. And the moment, and first they approach me with a very friendly, very different attitude, and the moment that I say I'm a refugee, I see in their face that something like, oh.
I believe it's a pity that we're still talking about the word refugee, because people are still not used to it. And I think this problem will always exist. From my side, as someone who was a refugee, I would say it's my responsibility to change this this word or this meaning via my actions, via what I do, but also by kind of like speaking up when I hear someone saying something about refugees. So you don't need language, you don't need anything to... Like all the four chefs that I have don't speak a word of Dutch. They're learning Dutch, but their rate of learning is so slow that when we do cooking workshops, like, they don't speak. They can't speak. They cannot. They're also very shy. But you see it. They interact with the Belgians, like, through the food, like, lekker, yum, you know, things like that. And that's why I call it food for the soul coming from the heart, you know, and a lot of people used to say to us, like, your food, we can taste the love in it, because it's really like homemade food, you know?
Yara proves that you can be the change, that you can do things differently. With her business From Syria With Love, she shows that you can be a fierce businesswoman, even if you were a refugee. Yara works with women who have a more difficult time to adapt to our society, so she can give all refugees a chance.
There also should be a way to empower these newcomers, but also understand. And this is why when I started a project, I focused on these women, because they are the most difficult to integrate. And From Syria With Love was a good example to show that you could benefit the host country you're in, while still empowering the people who came from abroad.
Yeah, because actually both sides are beneficial, yeah.
Of course.
So that's actually a really good thing.
And there's a very good proverb that says, in Arabic, that says, like, there is bread and salt between us. And whenever you eat with someone, there's a sort of bond that you create that is very intimate. And you can never kind of, they say, you can never forget me, because there's salt and bread between us.
The Congolese woman that fled to Uganda. Vida, Maria, Yara. They are all examples of strong, empowered women. Women who are so much more than their background. All over the world, there are so many other women who left their country and who are doing inspiring things. in their own way.